The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised on earth to their ancestors? Where am I to get the meat to give to all of this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. They did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. Let us read together. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A reading from the letter of James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. So, Jesus visits Peter at the pearly gates and asks how things are going. "Well," says Peter, "I have a complaint. You know, Lord, I'm scrupulous about my job here. I interview each soul arriving at the gate of heaven, and I check to see if his or her name is written in the book of life. I turn away the people not worthy to enter heaven. But a little while later, I turn around and I see those very people wandering around on the inside. I don't get it. What's going on?" "Oh, that's my mother for you," replied Jesus. "Those people you turn away, she keeps letting them in through the back door." Now, the caption of that was old joke on the website where I found it. But it may be an old joke, but it's the first time I'd read it. It's on the website of Suzanne Guthrie, an Episcopal priest and author and lecturer in Northern California. Her website is called At the Edge of the Enclosure. Kind of fitting for that particular joke. Now, John, one of the disciples we read about the most, has tattled to Jesus about some guy casting out demons in Jesus' name. "We tried to stop him," he said, "because he wasn't following us." Looks like he was anticipating Peter's assigned role as doorman and keeper of the keys. That anecdote hits me right between the eyes, that story from Scripture, because way too often, I'm channeling John as he appears here, deciding who in the Christian world is doing it right and who's not. I don't like saying that, but I've been told that confession's good for the soul. Jesus' stern response to John is something along the lines of, why don't you worry about your own business and not stick your nose into other people's? His words, as we have them recorded and translated into English, are, whoever is not against us is for us. Of course, there are two other places where he says, whoever is not for us is against us, and they both fit in the context in which he says those things. Jesus seems to still be holding that kid in front of him. Just wonder if the kid's starting to squirm, using her as an illustration, saying, if you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, and goes on to say how bad it will be for someone who does that. Maybe lets the little kid run back to her mom at this point, having served her purpose for illustrative purposes. It's not a news story, even when John tells on the unknown character. There were tattletales during the Exodus, some 1,500 years earlier, telling Moses that Eldad and Medad were trying to pull a fast one, staying back in the camp to prophesy. Not only that, they hadn't checked in at the registration desk of the tent when they were supposed to. People are so unwieldy and so prone to disobey orders and not follow regulations. We Episcopalians love orders and regulations and, well, just the right and orderly way to do things. James, with all his talk about doing the right thing, is right at home here. And he puts me to shame, at least sometimes. In last week's passage from his letter, he wrote, show me by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom, not anything about what you have to say about them. He might have been thinking about this incident when he wrote about faith without works being dead. A point, if not the point, is that Jesus was concerned about making the good news of God's love known in every way possible. He did not seem to be concerned about rules of etiquette and regulations nearly so much as helping people come to life, having life, and having it abundantly. In fact, his whole ministry brims with examples of people using the rules to avoid taking the right and loving action, and he always has some commentary to make about that, often to the Pharisees. I've got to tell you, the collect for today put me off a bit by its focus on praying that we become partakers of God's heavenly treasure. It sounded a bit self-serving to me, as opposed to ending on a note of using God's grace for us to help others. I've rethought that, though, because these readings help us to see that the heavenly treasure is to be found here and now in humble acts of kindness towards others, in carrying the good news into every situation in our lives, manifesting it in our actions, regardless of the words we use to accompany those actions. May God grant us all the grace to receive that boundless love and carry it to others in all that we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We continue with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we may all be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, and Michael, our priest,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
We pray especially for John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Gary, June, Cheryl, Carolyn, Jill, Mary, Deb, Alan, James, Lynn, Christian, Patrick, Dale, Karen, Gail, Abigail, Robin, Virginia, Maureen, David, Kenyon, Sarah, Lindsay, Carol, Tyler, Sheila, Donna, Donald, Anne, Jenny, Reese, RG, Roshunda, Marianne, Betty, Melissa, Charles, Patty, Ryan, Glenda, Winifred, Shelley, Leslie, Doug, Butch, Cindy, Linda, Dan, Alan, Ed, the Degater family, William, Joe, Greg, Mark, Bonnie and Ed, Diane, Craig, Carol, Calvin, Marla, Amelie, Jim C., and Gilbert, the people in Afghanistan, and the women in the Hutto facility, and for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. At eternal rest,
let light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray especially for Marianne Gordy and all who have died from the coronavirus, and for all who mourn their passing. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
may we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
And as always, I invite you to unmute yourselves if you wish to offer prayers aloud at this point.
For the Tucker family.
For Amber and her children.
For Marietta Johns.
I ask your prayers for Cesar Arriaza, Mark Pack, and Sherry Musgrove, who are traveling this week. I ask you thanksgivings for those celebrating their birthdays this week. Claire Hara, Eloisa Rodriguez, Jamie Montemayor, and R.G. Guthrie. And with Carol and Robert Winter, who celebrate their wedding anniversary on Tuesday. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus, stay with us as we begin a new week. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts, and awaken hope that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and in the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And now please unmute yourselves again. I'll wait for you for a second here. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace of the Lord.
Peace. Peace.
Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. It's always great to hear. There are Ken and Wayne up there in the corner, being themselves. if somewhat still. Peace be with you all. And now.
Yeah.
Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing be upon you always.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
now, because neither Otis nor I can unmute you, you have to do that for yourselves. I'll ask you all to unmute yourselves for this next thing, which we need to hear everybody's voice. It's always so good to hear everybody's voice. Here we go. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.